An obvious one. A story that is, we all saw coming from a mile off, but one that will still be satisfying to talk about, I hope. And that, of course, will be this little headline. Go on, let's not spoil it. This is Joel, a Swedish talent, a Swedish prospect. Everybody thought Joel was going to be the next big thing in Sweden. Indeed, many of his performances suggested that he was going to be. And if you remember, last time we talked about Joel, he had been accused of cheating. He had supposedly been caught cheating by an anti-cheat. And what's funny is, even though the scene say, every game has a cheater, no one can stop them. No one even has an anti-cheat. What is anti-cheat? Does anti-cheat even exist? VAC isn't even turned on. When this guy got caught by an anti-cheat in a tournament, the same people turned around and went, well, we should really wait and see what the evidence is. All right. Oh, you fucking morons. But fine. You get used to that level of hypocrisy from the fucking, CS community. And so anyway, this was a player, by the way, that had played in some pretty good teams. Like, let me refresh your memory in case you're not familiar with Joel's career. As you'll be able to see from this page on HLTV, look at this. Galaxy Racer, right? Monty, Godsent. Remember when TSM came back to cynically try and win some sticker money? And everyone went, I clapped, I did. I love TSM. Remember TSM? He briefly represented TSM, right? That's the level they set for themselves these days. Do they even have a team? Apex Legends, is that about it? Then, when they didn't win the stickers, he went to 5W, and then that was a scam, if memory serves me correctly. And then he went to BC Game, really covering themselves in glory over there with their scouting. Yeah, Jacob, come on in. Nobody knows what's been going on with you behind the scenes for years. Joel? I'm sure those rumours are just exactly that. Now, what you have to remember is, as well, I don't want to be mean to this kid. He is only 20 years old. People make mistakes. People are crazy. His professional career now does indeed appear to be over. But I even have a story that's relevant to me kind of helping this guy. So in case you think I'm being unfair and I'm shitting on this dude, there was back when there was that ESIC whistleblower. You remember that guy? Yarabo or whatever his name was. He was implying that Joel was a match fixer behind the scenes, and his evidence was a screenshot of somebody else saying that Joel was a match fixer. And he was going, see? I'm like, fucking hell. I hope you're never a magistrate. So, I wrote the article. I debunked Yarabo in four articles. Really good, solid, well-written articles. Probably the articles that made me really disenchanted with the process of journalism. Because the editor at Deserto told me that probably across all four articles, all four chapters, which took me dozens of hours of work, they said probably you earned about 30,000 clicks across all four articles. Meanwhile, an article about Amaranth putting vaginal yeast into a beer and selling it got 2.1 million clicks. I kind of got blackpilled on that day, I'm not going to lie. There was wasn't really a lot of coming back from that one, you know? Right. So, high quality investigative journalism. Not even 8,000 clicks an article. Amaranth's vaginal yeast, 2.1 million. Right, gotcha. Okay, cool. So, I tried to help him out on that one because this Yarabo guy was going around and basically blackmailing orgs into saying, I'll release screenshots publicly that'll ruin your players' careers. And it doesn't matter whether people believe them, if they're fake or anything like that. It'll just ruin your career because the assumption will always be there. Now, Joel had obviously been investigated for match fixing after that fact. It turned out ESIC ruled he hadn't fixed any matches. I want to make that clear. They said they couldn't find evidence of that. He just placed bets on himself. And the way that he was betting, he was doing all right. Let's put it that way. He was winning money. So, anyway, He then got caught supposedly cheating while he was playing for BC game. I'll read you the write-up, and then we'll get into the details over on the ESIC report. The 20-year-old had been away from the competitive scene since August 2024 when he was banned by the Akros anti-cheat, the one that doesn't work according to the community, by the way, upon joining the server for BC Games CCT Season 2 Europe Series 7 against Bait. BC Game immediately removed the player from the roster while it conducted an investigation into the matter. This is where Guardian had to step in, I believe, and be a sub. He was the coach at the time. Akros said there was zero chance the ban was a false positive, but Joel maintained his innocence. I know I have not cheated or planned to do so, he told HLTV at the time. I know I've not cheated or planned to do so. I love to play the game. If I'm not playing CS2, I'm watching it to become better. To now have people doubting my legitimacy is the worst part. I've seen some people react to my demos. I don't mind if they look for something suspicious, since everything I do in-game has its explanation. I've even seen some clips floating around that some say are sus, while there are TeamSpeak recordings of information being said that I react on. What does hurt, though, and you know, you really have to think about his feelings and all of this, is when people prematurely say I'm doing something suspicious in-game because they think I know where the enemy is in an unnatural way, saying I used radar hacks or any form of cheats, which is not true. Those that play with me in teams know I have a vision of how to play the game. No one else does, of course. That I'm very vocal in-game, and that can easily be seen when talking to me about the game. There wouldn't be a reason for me to suddenly turn on cheats, but people don't look at it from different angles and just assume I'm a cheater. I've already proven myself on LAN, even though it was some time ago now, and I can replicate that performance. When specifically asked whether he had a cheat loaded on his machine at the time of the ban, Joel said, no, I did not. Makes no sense on why I would cheat now when I have finally received a chance to redeem myself. That's redemption. For the betting scandal he was involved in, of course. I am more driven than ever to play Counter-Strike and compete. My goal has been to reach the top level of the scene. And thanks to all the resources I've been given in this team, it makes no sense for me to throw that all away by cheating. Yeah, this is an interesting detail worth just adding to the story. The Akros anti-cheat got updated on the same day he was banned. Now, for those that don't know, who don't cheat, when you use private cheats, when you use cheats you get even from forums, and what they do is they say it's compatible with these anti-cheats, it's compatible with ACT, it's compatible with FACE, it's compatible with ESEA, you know, whatever it is. And then what they do is they say, but if the anti-cheat updates, don't play with the cheats, because we need to see what they've updated and then we need to update our cheat to bypass it. I'm not saying that's what happened here. But it's just an interesting detail, isn't it? It's a hell of a coincidence. And that's what happened there. So anyway, he denied it, of course. He got benched. And just to give you a little bit, you can see here, they put the history in. They said it's not the first time he was embroiled in controversy. He was suspended by ESIC in 2023 after allegations he engaged in corrupt behaviour. He placed bets on matches in which he was playing, including 2 bets against his own teams, in addition to 17 bets on matches that he wasn't involved in, but there was no compelling or conclusive evidence that he'd involved in match fixing. His ban expired after 4 months because lawyers, etc., and then he got away with that. He then said he was committed to seizing the second chance, and that all the people that had slandered him, he'd be coming after them for the false allegations and libel, and also that he was battling gambling addiction. Who knew? So let's read the ESIC report. Disciplinary action, public statement. April 3rd. On the 4th of August 2024, during the CCT Season 2 European Series number 9, because, you know, CCT is usually legit, apart from this incident, Mr. Homeland was found to be in possession of a premium hardware cheat. So they even named the cheat in this report, which, you know, someone will be in the comments going, by naming the cheat, you are spreading the information to your followers and encouraging people to cheat. I always knew you had no integrity. I unsubscribed, unfollowed. But anyway, you can see it's the ASDFware EFI boot kit. Very catchy name. On his PC. The cheat which included an aimbot, a triggerbot, and ESP features, was detected by Akros Anti-Cheat and confirmed through forensic analysis. The presence of the executable, that's, you know, the exe, you click on it, and configuration files, which means that he's played with it and tried to set it up to do certain things and they're separate from each other, indicated deliberate intent to use the cheat in competitive play. Now, in the thread about this, I did see someone say, what's an ESP? And a lot of the explanations were bad. So ESP stands for extrasensory perception. Extrasensory perception, by the way, is a paranormal phenomenon where, you know, people like Uri Geller claim to have it. That I could, like, write something on a piece of paper, hold it close to my chest, and then you could somehow guess what it was. Or you could tell who was in a room over there. Or somebody whispers a word over here and I can tell you it. Now, usually, that's bollocks, isn't it? Not even usually. Although Derren Brown can do it through a variety of mediums and what have you. And but it's trickery, you know? Now, but anyway, that term, ESP, became a sort of slang, a colloquialism, for cheats that did certain things. So not just a wall hack per se. A wall hack obviously lets you see people through walls. An ESP does that generally by putting a box around someone. So they're running around, they've got a box around them so I can see them wherever they are. But if they're low health, it tells me their health. It tells me what gun they've got, you know, how much fucking money they've got, you know, whatever it might be. It gives you an extra sensory perception about the game. That's what an ESP is. So it's more than a wall hack. But it essentially can function just as one. And what's interesting is, with a lot of the modern ESPs, you can just set what information it shows you, what it doesn't. But every time someone gets caught with, like, a bunch of boxes around a person, that's an you know, on a screenshot. Clara! That is ESP. And yes, it can give you the radar, you know, it does multiple features. Anyway, so that's what an ESP is, for the curious people that were like, what does that mean? People were like, it is a wall hack. Like, all right. Yeah, okay. Anyway, Mr. Homeland responded to the charge in writing and admitted to the misconduct. Yeah, when he was fucking banged to rights, we had the exact name of the cheat, proof of the executable and all the configuration files. Oh, yeah, he wrote in and he fucking admitted to it. So remember, he defended his innocence, said he never would do it, said he's got no reason to do it, said he wouldn't throw away his career, said it's all slander, libel and lies, and he's talking to lawyers to go after those people, telling those slander, libel and lies. Then on paper, in writing, he said, I mean, I'm guessing it's paper, it's probably an email, regardless, the point still stands, he wrote down and put his motherfucking name on it like a George Foreman grill, I did this. So this cunt's pretty fucking shameless, right? Mr. Homeland responded to the charge in writing and admitted the misconduct at his request, and in response to his participation with ESIC's investigation, ESIC agreed to delay the public statement related to his rejection order to facilitate his transition into alternative employment. Now then, this is an interesting one. I got mixed feelings about it. I'll tell you a story from back in the day, because we all love that. Richard, make your videos 10 minutes long. You'll get more clicks. Nah. People are here for the rambles. I went to Milan. Wow. Back in the day, I was the editor of Cadred, European coverage portal for Counter-Strike Source. We were having a big LAN. It was 2012. It was Copenhagen Games. It was totally up in the air who was going to win it. It was the one big last hurrah of the scene. We knew CSGO was around the corner. Source was petering out. 1.6 was petering out. It was even at a stage where some 1.6s were going to be like, fuck it, I'll just play some Source at the end. Old school Sources were coming back. We had a bunch of decent teams that were like trying to professionalise for CSGO because everyone thought it was going to be bigger than it was at launch. It didn't get big until the skins update, you know, the arms deal. So anyway, we had this huge blowout at Copenhagen Games 2012. And there was a player I'll just give you the gamer name. It was MK. He was playing for Very Games. Very Games had been the number one team throughout pretty much the entirety of late Source. They were dynastic for about 4 years, but they didn't win Copenhagen Games, not even close. I think they finished like 7th, 8th, or 9th, or 12th. They lost to Thermal Take Dragons, which had Shox and Smiths on it. That was that team, which was a great rivalry because Shox had historically played for Very Games. It was a good time. Anyway, they had this player, MK. He just wasn't good enough. And there was a Portuguese team. It was the best team in Portugal. They were playing for Fragmasters. That's a public server. And they played under the name, I think it was FM Toxic. They had two. They had FM Toxic and another FM. They had two teams, two sister teams from different regions. One UK-based, one Portuguese. And the Portuguese guys came. And they had these unbelievable laptops that they'd been given. Sapphire. That was it. Yeah, FM Sapphire. They had these unbelievable laptops. Really nice laptops. And Very Games got knocked out of the tournament. And this player, MK, he just took one of the Portuguese players' laptops. Just took it. Straight from the thing. Went back to the hotel. People saw it. Other players were like, yo, what the fuck, dude? And he was, where'd you get that from? And he's like, the other players said, this is not cool. They went and told the Fragmasters guys. Fragmasters guys said, yo, we think this dude's stolen the laptop. People pulled the fucking camera footage, confirmed it, that he just yoinked it. So naturally, I'm there when it's happening. The way Copenhagen Games used to work at the Urksnahalle was the press tent was in the middle of the fucking building. Like the stage. So for context, this is the stage hither. We're here in the press. So the stage is here, the bar is here, the land benches where everyone's not playing on the stage is here. We're in the middle. The casting booths are here. So we're right in the heart of it. Anyway, so I've seen it. I know it. All the players are saying, Richard, you've got to write about this. I'm like, yeah, all right. He's banked rights. The admins have confirmed it. His own team has confirmed it. The FM guys have confirmed it. So I wrote it up. You know, MK steals laptop. It was hilarious. One of the most clicked on articles from the whole tournament. And remember, this was our Ragnarok. This was the Ragnarok of Counter-Strike Source, you know. In between fucking Thor smashing in fucking Jotunheim's fucking head or whatever, you know, like whatever that lizard's fucking called. MK stole a laptop. And anyway, many years later, I got messaged by this dude. Yeah, that's it. Jormungandr. I haven't really played God of War. Not the new ones. I haven't had time. I should just know it from Nordic mythology, of course, but whatever. Anyway, many years later, I got messaged. I think I'd left Kadred at this point. It was him. It was MK. Using his real name. Didn't put MK in the email. And he said, like, oh, I'm utilizing a French law called the right to disappear, and I need you to delete that news post from Kadred about me stealing because it's going to affect my future employment. And I was like, well, I don't work there anymore. This is the name of the editor. You can fucking, you know, you can check in with that. And I thought to myself, I'm kind of conflicted because on the one hand, I don't like that employers get to Google your shit and go on Facebook and go on your Twitter. I don't like that. I think that's an overreach. But equally, you did steal. Like what you did, you were lucky you weren't fucking arrested. You were lucky you weren't prosecuted. We dealt with it all in-house. That we literally said, apologies and a handshake will suffice. Give the laptop back and it'll go no further. No police was called. So I don't know how I feel about that. Now, what ESIC have done here is it's very similar. They've said, look, if you're looking for another job outside of esports, we don't have to absolutely publicly wreck you and say that you're a fucking, you know, someone that engages in unethical behavior. We don't have to do that. We can wait. The ban will still stand. But by the same token, while that's going on and there's all this uncertainty I wouldn't have waited. I'd have just been like, nah, fuck you. You did it. You've admitted you've done it. You know, bollocks to you. But anyway, ESIC did agree to delay their public statement so he could look for a job. And then, when that period expired, what did Joel do? Well, he, quote, issued a threat to blackmail ESIC with fabricated allegations in response to ESIC's intention to make the matter public, an act ESIC considers to be an egregious breach of its integrity program. Now, I don't know what it is with ESIC and the people that interact with ESIC, but everyone that threatens ESIC seems to be mentally ill on some level. Like, it's actually crazy that you would be like, you've admitted to the offense in writing, but now I'm going to blackmail you and falsify some shit. that Yarrabor guy who worked there for 3 weeks and then tried to come out. And remember, he publicly said, I was secretly on E6 payroll because he saw there was, whatever it was, $60,000 a year being sent to a video editor he never met. And that was secretly me. All the players, all the coaches that got caught denied it. The whole who is the E6 thing and the CIS and Russia fucking region. It's like, I don't know. I'm not, E6 certainly aren't perfect and haven't covered themselves in glory, but a lot of their ops are fucking morons. Like, actual fucking morons. So he committed to blackmailing them, apparently. And then they said this latest misconduct constitutes his third breach of the E6 integrity program within a 24-month period, reflects a sustained disregard for the principles of integrity and fair play in esports. And then they tallied up all of the things he did wrong, which includes violations of the corruption anti-corruption code, 2.1.1, fixing or contriving in any way to otherwise influence improperly or being a party to any agreement or effort to fix or contrive in any way or otherwise influence improperly the result, progress, conduct, or any other aspect of any match, including without limitation, by deliberately underperforming therein. Which kind of casts previous betting things and previous statements made by E6 in a different light, but also, why were you cheating in this particular game? What was the outcome? Had someone placed bets? Was it you? Was it a colleague? Why would you just suddenly do it? It wasn't even, by the way, like you could potentially lose to this fucking team. You had a pretty solid team. Joel, by all accounts, it's not like he's been cheating the entire time. Kid clearly had talent. Talk about him in the past tense. But we'll never know, I guess. Any attempt to manipulate a match, this is in the code of conduct, is bad, where the facts of the alleged incident are not adequately or clearly covered by any of the above rules. Conduct that brings esports into disrepute, that'll get you. That's a sanction, that's a paddling. Intimidation of any participant, that's the blackmail threats, that's a paddling. Cheating or attempting to cheat to win a game or match, that's a paddling. Where the facts of the alleged incident are not adequate or clearly covered by any of the above offences, conduct that brings it into disrepute again, that's another paddling, a similar paddling, a duo paddling. Cheating or attempting to cheat, another offence, that's a paddling. Participants shall refrain from any activity that might give the appearance of suspicion of improper conduct, well, that's a paddling. Acting in a way that is not honest and respectful and without integrity, that's a paddling. Failing to disclose to ESIC without a necessary delay any corrupt conduct or any conduct that could bring the participant, eSport, the game event, ESIC event, / tournament, the host, tournament organizer, or tournament sponsor into disrepute. That is what they did Nico for, so that's a paddling. So, what sanction did they impose? Well, given the seriousness and sustained nature of Mr. Holmland's breaches, that was his breaches, not his britches, ESIC has imposed a lifetime ban, effective immediately. And this sanction includes a permanent prohibition. By the way, I love that we've been talking about this, and it's just all popping off in Birmingham tonight, by the way. You can just hear non-stop. All the siren doxers are going to be loving this. It's just non-stop fuzz. Just fucking zooming through the city at night. Anyway, a lifetime ban, effective immediately, which includes permanent prohibition on participation in any capacity in all events, tournaments, leagues, or activities hosted, organized, or affiliated with ESIC members, and a recommendation to non-member tournament organizers and game publishers, including Valve, to honor and enforce this ban. So at 20, he's achieved what all the greats never could. An actual lifetime ban from ESIC. You know, think about that. Not even Forsaken got a lifetime ban. It's actually crazy. So, you know, I think his ban was like 5 years. And he got caught at LAN cheating. It's actually insane. The funny part is, there's a lot of tournament operators out there now that don't recognize ESIC's authority in CS. Tier 2, Tier 3. There's tournaments, by the way. I've said this multiple times. There's tournaments that are just created to fix matches. And what they do is they bring in teams that contain players that like to fix matches and are comfortable fixing matches, and then they just fix all the matches, and those matches are, of course, are on betting websites, and everybody uses it to get, well, rich. There's no reason why now you might not see Joel participate in tournaments in and around that kind of level of the game, because a lifetime ban can only be realistically enforced if everyone agrees that these six bans are righteous. You know, ESL, Blast, you know, PGL, Valve for the RMRs and all the qualifiers, depending on who runs those. I don't even know if CCT recognizes ESIC, but considering all of this relates to a CCT event, they must have cooperated, and that implies they agree and support ESIC to some degree. But a lifetime ban is crazy. Like, it's actually crazy to have achieved it in such a short space of time. And reminder, you know, the kid clearly is an arsehole, but he definitely looked to be a good talent. Assuming, by the way, that he wasn't cheating and somehow was getting away with it. Which, there's some games where you could just tell he was decent. But, like, in this particular level of the game, if you look, you know, he can't have been cheating in all of these. I mean, he could, but it's probably highly unlikely. And so you have to look at it as, like, you know, a complete ridiculous, tragic waste of talent at 20 years old, particularly in a scene like Sweden that he could have been on. You know, Swedish talent dried up, could have been on a top Swedish team, if that's not oxymoronic at this point in history. It's definitely crazy. And I'll end on one of his greatest hits, because it's just too good. It was so good. On the day he got a lifetime ban, I retweeted it, because I'm obviously a passive-aggressive scumbag. And even though I don't really tweet this much these days, I only tweet my work and when I'm live streaming. I did think this was a banger. Yeah, just a reminder that when he got added to TSM, this was after his initial scandal with the bets, because TSM don't care. They just wanted the sticker money. These are the quotes that he put out there. These are the quotes that inspired him to be the Joel that he is. And that is, they don't hate the good ones, they hate the great ones. Lifetime ban at 20 years old, that is pretty fucking great in retrospect. Well done. It's easy to win because most motherfuckers are weak. There's probably nothing as weak as cheating in a competitive environment because you're afraid to lose. And of course, in the end, we will remember not the words of our enemies, but the silence of our friends, he said, after getting yet another chance to play on a respectable, well, it's TSM, so let's not use that word, organization. So, it's kind of crazy. I don't think he said anything. Yeah, I don't think he said anything on Twitter. That's wise. That's fair. But just a crazy, crazy waste. And probably, much like the Jacobs video that I did, and the, you know, CS in the sewers and blah, blah, this is part of the problem. This kid, he said he had a gambling addiction problem. Got no reason to doubt him. He certainly was match-fixing adjacent. If he wasn't actually fixing matches, he was certainly placing bets on his own games. That's never good. Everybody should just know as a no-brainer, you shouldn't be doing that. And then, of course, attempting to cheat in a game for reasons we will never understand why he did it. It's really just kind of, again, these problems that come out from having these two worlds being too adjacent. The gambling world and the professional players world. And when they entwine, bad things happen. And now, well, it's his own actions. He's to blame. But another 20-year-old has kind of been served up on the scrap heap. But it's got to be said, he fucked up spectacular, didn't he? He really did. To threaten the governing body with blackmail is basically like what Alan Shearer did to the FA, for those that don't know. Again, this video's great. It's had loads of anecdotes. But when Alan Shearer kicked Ugo Ehiog in the eye socket in a game against Aston Villa, and fractured Ugo's eye socket and got a red card. He threatened to not play for England and threatened the FA unless that was like the long-term ban that was going to come with his malicious conduct was rescinded. And it's like, you've got to take your medicine when you do things. You have to take your fucking medicine. And if you're not interested in taking your medicine, this is where it goes. Lifetime ban. Done. Dunzo. Shut the fuck up. Put the fries in the bag.